Epilogue. Jonas heard the keys rattling the lock at the front door. "I'll call you later," he said.
"Wait, just a few more questions."
Jonas looked to the door, then back at the old man on the screen of his laptop.
"I can't talk right now," he said. "Tomorrow, okay?"
Without allowing any time for objections, he closed the screen and scrambled over to the kitchen island. The margaritas in the blender had already begun to melt. Jonas grunted. He had talked to Professor Hoffman far longer than he'd intended. Racing to the refrigerator, he grabbed a glass. The whir of the ice dispenser masked the sound of the opening door, though he felt the hot air rushing inside.
"I was just making you a drink," he said, forcing an innocent smile.
The woman standing at the threshold was wearing a set of medical scrubs. Her salt-and-pepper hair was tied into a short braid, and her dark eyes were bearing down on him.
"You were talking to that guy at the college again," she said, one hand planted firmly on her hip.
Jonas' eyes darted over to the laptop, and he could see immediately that he hadn't closed it completely. His shoulders sagged.
"Yes, Nurse Vera, you caught me."
He poured the ice into the blender.
"But I really did make margaritas."
He pushed the start button before Vera could scold him further. Unfortunately, this was only a temporary retrieve. The moment the blender stopped, she stalked over to the laptop and shut the top all the way down.
"You keep this up, and you're going to have the men in white coats banging on our door," she told him.
Jonas cocked his head. English was often a confusing language, and he hadn't yet mastered all of its nuances. Many common expressions other people easily understood still escaped him.
"It's not what you think," he said. "And how would you know what I think?"
He poured two drinks.
"I'm sorry. I should have told you."
Vera's mouth was still twisted into a frown.
"Told me what?"
She accepted the drink and headed toward the back bedroom.
"Professor Hoffman and I are going to write a book together."
She paused.
"A book? About what?"
Her expression had softened. She was always a bit edgy at the end of a shift, though he knew once she'd finished her post-work cocktail, she would relax.
"I'll tell you outside."
Before she could object, he turned and exited onto the rear deck. The house itself was small, perched on pylons with only a single bedroom and one bathroom. But the furnishings were extremely well made and quite expensive. It also had all the best appliances. The deck overlooked the Gulf of Mexico, where they had more than 2 acres of white sand beach to enjoy whenever they wanted. Not that Jonas actually cared very much for the sand. Still, Vera liked it, and it afforded them a decent amount of privacy. Plopping down onto his lounge chair, he sat his drink on the side table. The smell of the salt air and the sound of seagulls never failed to make him smile. He had fallen in love with the location the very first moment he laid eyes on it. Vera loved it, too. It was that, as much as anything, which had prompted him to purchase the house. Vera came out a few minutes later wearing her white 2-piece bathing suit. Though in her early 50s, she exercised regularly and took excellent care of herself. Jonas often told her she could pass for a woman in her 30s, and he meant it. She had already finished the drink he had poured and had made herself a second.
"Now tell me why the heck you are still talking to that kook Hoffman," she began. "You know how I feel about that. Wherever Lumnia is, you live on Earth now." "We're not trying to find it anymore," Jonas assured her. "The other astronomers he works with were starting to think he was losing his mind, so he had to stop."
"What then?"
"He wants to write down the stories I told him," he replied. "I don't know English well enough to do it myself, so he thought maybe we could do it together."
Vera looked at him skeptically.
"You promise that's all you're doing? No more running off in the middle of the night searching for home?"
Jonas reached over and took her hand.
"This is my home now. Here, with you."
She smiled.
That's good to hear. I'm sorry if I ever made you feel like I was wanting to go back. I swear that even if I could, I wouldn't. You know, since that first moment I saw you lying there in the ER with a bullet in your stomach, not speaking a word of English and scared out of your wits, I knew you were in trouble. She winked at him over the rim of her glass. I just didn't know how much. You should have known me before I came here, he said. I was about as stiff and proper as you can imagine. You still are, she teased. Much too stiff and proper for a young thing like me. Jonas made a show of acting hurt. So you just married me for my money? That and your sexy accent. I've always been a sucker for exotic men. Jonas stood up and took her now half-empty glass back to the kitchen. For all her teasing, he knew how much she loved him. She had been by his side through everything. First at the hospital during the long and painful days of recovery from his wounds. Then with practical support through all the legal process, until he was finally cleared of the murders that Marcus had committed. Briefly, he thought back to the moment he'd been shot. It had been agonizing. At first, he'd thought it was fatal. He'd certainly collapsed like he was dead. Marcus had probably thought he was. He wondered for a moment what had happened to him and Ethan, and all the others. There were so many possibilities, it was impossible to guess. His mind shifted back to Vera. She was his life now. Even after seeing him through all the early problems, she still wasn't done. Following that, she had helped him to stay in the country by taking him to the best immigration attorney in Massachusetts. And the amazing thing was, not once, despite safely looking after a fortune in jewels for him until he had recovered from his wounds, had she ever asked for anything in return. That told him everything he needed to know about her character. When he was finally on his feet and able to watch out for himself, she simply returned to her job as a nurse. It wasn't until Jonas had learned enough English to have a decent conversation that he returned to ask her out on a date. It wasn't exactly love at first sight, but they enjoyed each other's company, and the rest soon blossomed. Once back on the deck, he knelt beside Vera and handed her the refilled glass. I just want you to know that I really meant what I said just now. She took her drink and sat it down beside her. What are you talking about? I never want to go back. Vera kissed his fingers and pressed her cheek to his hand. I know. It's just that some of the stories you tell make it sound so much more exciting than this place. I mean, I didn't even believe you at first. It was just too crazy. But I know you're not crazy. And I know you don't lie to me. So, if you're not crazy, and you're not lying... She shook her head and leaned back. I think I might have drunk too fast. Careful, said Jonas. I might end up taking advantage of you. She raised an eyebrow. If you think you can keep up, go for it. Just then, six children came running up from the beach. Jonas recognized them immediately. I think it might have to wait, said Vera. Your fan club is back. I can get rid of them, he offered. She blew him a kiss. No, I can wait. For a while, at least. Just don't make it a long one. The pounding of feet running up the stairs from the beach shook the entire deck. A few seconds later, four boys and two girls, all of them about 9 or 10 years old, ran up and surrounded Jonas. Aren't you tired of this by now? He asked, crossing his arms over his chest. All six children shook their heads. Jonas sighed and sat on the lounge chair. Very well. I suppose I know one more. Does it have a dragon? Asked a young girl with wild brown curls and a face filled with tiny freckles. Not this one, Jonas replied. Today I'll tell you about how I came to Earth from a faraway world, and how I ended up marrying the fairest princess in all the land. The two girls smiled,
but the boys looked as if they had just smelled something foul.
"Don't worry," he added quickly. "It has chases and gunfights, and magic, too."
This was enough to satisfy the boys. As the entire group sat in a row in front of him, Vera got up and took his glass. She leaned over and kissed his cheek, then whispered,
"Just leave out the part that happens after the wedding."
"Of course, my love," Jonas said. "That's the story I'll tell you later." He cleared his throat and turned back to the children.
"Now, where to start? Ah, yes. Far, far away, beyond the very farthest star in the sky, is a world filled with magic, elves, dwarves, and dragons."
The end. This has been an Audible Studios production of Dragonvane, Book 5. Written by Brian D. Anderson. Performed by Derek Perkins. Producer, Mike Charzuk. Copyright 2017 by Brian D. Anderson. Production copyright 2016 by Audible, Inc. Audible Studios is a division of Audible, Inc.